I will remember no more. The things that we hold on to that we need to forget, and those things we need to forget. Guys, there's things that I just love that he doesn't remember our sins at all, but he remembers us. So as we start this new year, as we partake of communion, let's take a minute and remember the things we're thankful for, and then those things that we've been hanging on to, let's give them to the Lord right now. Let's give them to him. Just don't hang on to him. You know, forgiveness is saying, maybe I don't agree with this, but I'm giving it to God and I'm not going to let it control my life any longer. You know, because forgiveness is all about the cross. And that's what Jesus came for. So let's do that right now. Let's take a minute. If you have something you just need to thank the Lord for, or just hand it over to him once and for all. Let's do that right now. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. Then he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. And Lord, we just thank you for that new covenant. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being our God. And as we come to worship you today, Lord, just may your Holy Spirit just continue to guide us. And Lord, I just thank you for the people that are here today, that we're ready to set, learn. It's a new year. And I just, you know, Lord, it's exciting. It's exciting what we have to look forward to, what things you're going to do. But just bless our time together. Teach us and strengthen us in our walk with you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Sorry, I'm a little... I've been fighting sustaining my... I've got this kind of cold that's not really a cold, but not... I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of caught in between right now.
It's still allergies.
All I know is my eyes are really itchy and my throat gets sore, so I'll try to... Which, if I'm on the beach, I could understand that, but I'm not there. On a beach, we'd be all good. Yeah. And it was just as cold in Wisconsin as it was here. In fact, I told some of you people, when Tress and I came back on New Year's Day, we're driving to Milwaukee, and it's about an hour and a half from where we were, from where I grew up. And it just had -7 on the car. You know, and if it got below zero while we were there, we were happy. And we get to Minneapolis to change flights, and it's -13 there.
Wow.
So we get ready to get on the plane, and the first plane we're supposed to get on, the water lines froze. So they bring another one. The hydraulics froze. So we get on the third one, and we taxi out. We're getting ready to take off. The diagnostics wouldn't run properly, or they ran and they kept alarming for an oil light, so they didn't know if it was a problem or if it was just a cold. So they brought us back, and we all got off, and they brought a fourth plane.
Oh.
And that one finally worked. So
we're only 3 hours
wow. late, so actually that was really, really good. But we're driving next year, I think.
Yes, we are.
You know, flying's just not any fun anymore.
Well, we drove to Denver first.
We drove to Denver, so it was, you know, wow. We figured by the time we drive and travel, it's 16 to 18 hours, so we might as well just drive because it's 15 hours if you drive. So we're like, and then we're at where we control our own stops and our own, you know, we're just, yeah. But there are many things, you know, I love how Bruce shared, you know, do not let your heart be hardened. And God always kind of gives me a message for every year. And this year it was, do not lose your heart. Do not lose heart or hope. So along with do not harden your heart, we have four places in Scripture, in the New Testament where it says, do not lose heart. And there are many things that go into a day, week, and a year. And looking back on 2017, for me, it was a year of much, much living, learning, the good along with the bad. It was tearing down and building up, going from better to worse, and if able, from worse to much better and able. But placing the good over the bad, and that's what we need to do. And we often forget all the things God has given, and we focus on those things we desire. And the thing is, it's easy not to lose heart sometimes. It's very easy just to lose heart. So we must make it our goal this year to prevent that. And recently as a church, we've been going over such things as the armor of God, and we're going to finish up with, next week we're going to do the second part of Ecclesiastes 7, and then we'll have two more weeks of probably in the armor of God, and then I'm not quite sure where we're going to go after that. It's going to be something in the Old Testament. It might be Obadiah and Jonah, or Jonah and Obadiah, but it's going to be a couple of the minor prophets before we jump into something after that. But we've been going over the armor of God and how the Christian is in a battle, and we've identified the enemy, Satan, and the emphasis now is not to lose your heart or hope. And why? Because it's a place, a separation that can have disastrous results for you as others. And not much changes from day to day as far as Satan is concerned. Although if you're moving towards God, the attacks will intensify and the battle may become much more fierce. I had fiercer, and I'm reading that, and I'm like, Tressa, fiercer is not a word, is it? I said, I like the way it sounds. It's more fierce than fierce. I don't know, fiercer. But I just like that, fiercer. I know, I just read it, and I'm like, that doesn't make sense. But it started in the garden and has progressed and been perfected through the ages. Satan's just kind of perfected it. Not much has changed. So today we're going to look at some of the verses that will greatly assist in fortifying your faith regarding not losing heart in the days, weeks, and year ahead. So if you want to turn over to 2 Corinthians, that's where we're going to start in our Bible. And while you're turning there, you know, I'm not or have never been a huge fan of the New Year's resolution, okay? And don't get me wrong, I'm a lover of those words that are associated with resolution, such as resolve, steadfastness, firmness, purpose, or determination, or fiercer. I like that one. No, it's not part of it, but it should be. And these can be seen as very desirable attributes to one's character. But it's just that it does a person much more good. Not gooder. I had that in here too. I don't know what I'm thinking. To be in a daily pursuit of such things instead of having an automatic restart or excuse every year to pursue the same thing you did for the past 5, 6, 7, 10, 15 years. These decrees start to lose their power as they're wheeled out every year after year, only to sputter by the end of January, and by March you even forgot what your resolution was. But to have any punch or power, these pledges, they need a basis, a reason not only to exist but to provide hope in the life of the possessor. There has to be a reason. And that is, and to keep your heart and your ensuing hope. For the Christian, it is essential to our very existence, because we place things in our lives and then we practice them. And then you start to see. Think of this. The invisible becomes visible. We see that in Scripture. We're going to look at that today. We see not with our own eyes, but with the eyes of Christ. And not by our own will, but that by the power and will of God. And that alone is what not only is what many want, but they absolutely need. And gifts are great, and a great gift is even better. And I had the time to, I'm like, I got so many things, it seemed like, what did I even get? You know, I like my birthday boy Jesus socks. I really like those. I'm not wearing them today, but they're pretty funny, Eliza. And I have my watch, which I really like. Thank you. I picked it out. Thanks, Tressa. And my wall map, which I have, which, Tressa, it came in. You know, it's hard not to know a map has not come in the mail. It's a box like this, and when you want a map, it's a map. So I thank you for my map, Tressa. But back to the resolutions. And, you know, I don't like them, but I made one this year to have a different milkshake at Sonic every month. because there's so many and I like milkshake. And you're happy to know that Friday I had my first coconut cream pie one. I'm holding my resolutions this year. But I'm not setting the bar high, but it's one of enjoyment and it's attainable. I'm going to keep this resolution, believe me. But think about it. That's what being a Christian is all about. The bar may seem high or low or high, but it's always attainable and it must be kept absolutely enjoyable. Guys, the life of a Christian should be enjoyable, okay? Because there's this newness. And we need to keep it that way to realize the goal, the absolute end game of life has not only been determined, we know that, but it's been given to us. Salvation has been given to us. And if you're a Christian, you have it. That's the key. The keeper of your heart is Jesus. And it has to be because he's the maker of your heart. So he's the keeper. But we still have things to do. There are items you must do with God in order to get there. And we have to do it in a way that not only glorifies God, but brings heaven to earth. Hebrews talks about that. You know, we get to bring heaven to earth. And it holds your heart and it spills over to others. And you might say the word enjoyable, you know, is sickness, death, enjoyable? It's not the exception. It's the part of life. It's not something that God says, I'm going to put this on you. We know it from the Bible that Jesus doesn't hide these things from us. And it's not that Satan deals from the bottom of the deck of fairness and says, you know, here's your card today and here it is. You know, sickness, death, disease is part of the curse. And Jesus, look what Jesus did. Hebrews 4:15. He was tempted in all things. And we're going to look at this verse at the very end today. And didn't sin at all. He knows everything that we go through. The power lies in the ability to set the foundation of our faith in Christ and to maintain the parameters of the path of your life and your relationship with God when sin is lying at the door and the lion seems to have you not by the back of the neck, but in its mouth. I mean, that's when it gets tough. So we're going to start with 2 Corinthians 4:1, and it says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. And I need to turn over there because I want to read the rest of those verses. I didn't quite get over there. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, he kind of tells us what to do with this ministry and how to keep your heart in the verses after this. We do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in the craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age have blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I love that. It's a great commission in there. How to hold our hearts. It's given an explanation, some of the things to do right there. The Amplified says, therefore, since we have the ministry or this aid officer service, so we've been given an office, just as we receive mercy from God, granting us salvation, opportunities, and blessing. Think of that. We've been granted opportunities and blessings. We do not get discouraged nor lose our motivation. I love that. Don't lose our motivation. This Christmas and New Year, we've been given many things. Also, as a Christian, been given a ministry through or of mercy and grace. And it's a life undeserved. But we have to do something with that. We have to do something with that. I mean, if you got a new truck, bless you this Christmas, I'd like to know. Or a new gun, or a new axe like Bruce got that Rusty made him. You want to do something with that. Shouldn't you do something with that? I mean, if you have a new car, aren't you going to drive it? Yeah. A gun, you're going to shoot it, or you're going to want to shoot it. But guys, brings to mind an interesting question. What is your salvation for? What's your salvation for? Have you ever asked that? What is my salvation for? If you keep asking that question and answering it, you will be fulfilling the ministry and mercy that's given to us, and you're not going to lose heart. It's going to be hard to lose or even misplace your heart. The Living Bible says it is God Himself in His mercy who has given us this wonderful work of telling His good news to others, and so we never give up. Talk about disciple making. When you're willing to be discipled and be a disciple maker, it's hard to lose heart because you're always involved in some kind of, and you may say, well, I don't even have a gift. Guys, we've all been given the ministry, a ministry, an office, and we're all to tell the good news. And if you keep doing that, God opens doors. He'll use you anywhere. Do not lose heart. If you have King James, it may say faint or faint not. The Greek means to be utterly spiritless, to be wearied out or exhausted. That's what it means. Do not lose heart or to faint. Utterly spiritless, to be wearied out or exhausted. And it's an absolute negative. No, not ever, never. It's not an option. And it's not an option. Don't lose heart. And why is this so important? If not even a consideration for us as a church, this losing of the heart, we'll not lay down. Not only that, but we won't give up or compromise. And you see a lot of that today in the churches today. Well, I can see, you know, the people say, well, I can see, you know, the same-sex marriage. I'm only using that just because it's popular today, you know. You know, we're to love others, and, you know, they love each other. Once you start compromising on certain issues, what's the whole truth worth? It's the whole truth, nothing but the truth. You know, it's we're not on trial here, but it's all or nothing. And we have to realize that in the ebbs and flows of life, we can't compromise because the days are what string together and knit a person's very fabric and a foundation of truth. That's what keeps our souls from becoming utterly spiritless. Adam and Eve, they were content. They had it all. They didn't need a new resolution. They needed to keep and protect what they had, but they desired something more. And what happened, and it still does today, a change took place within their hearts. A change. They accepted Satan's point of view without checking with God. It's always an important thing to do. When Tammy left me, the first thing I asked God almost immediately was, do you want me to stay here or leave? And He said, stay. I'm glad you were that clear. Get that out of the way. It wasn't like, go here or go there. It was like, stay. I had to check with Him first. Because, you know, in your heart, you're like, you want to go and chase that person, no matter what. But I had to check with God because I didn't want to, you know, there's a whole lot going on then, so you want to go to your foundation. So they accepted Satan's point of view without checking with God, and the result, they had to hide from God. They had to hide from Him. They were separated from God by their desire to act on their own. They chose the wrong things because they had become convinced they were the good things. Think of that. We can convince ourselves of so many things. And sin will become sin. In regard to sin, you will become a victim of it if you do not master it. Sin sets in motion the tendency to disobey God. And Genesis 4:7, if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Now, shipwrecks in life and on the water, they just don't happen. Okay, they just don't. You just don't set a boat in the water and, well, I guess it happens. Sometimes they launch them and they just sink. But, I mean, that was happened before because it wasn't just built very well. Storms that produce the waves that batter and beat a ship in life often crumble for much less. And why? They're nothing but staples and sticks holding the wood together or the very fabric of your soul. You know, we need the truth. We need God's word. We need to know that He's ever present within us, like we said in communion, that He remembers us. Because when life comes and starts battering you and battering you and battering you, you're like, I can't take this anymore. You may think you have it all. You may think you need no more, but remember the Titanic. It took 2 hours, I looked this up, 2 hours and 40 minutes to sink. And what did they say? We built a ship, it'll never go down. Guess what? I still haven't seen that movie either, the whole thing. It went down. Okay. I know it's like, what? You've never, I've seen the first hour and a half, so I think that, and people say that's the best part, so why watch anymore? No, but one day maybe I'll watch it all. But from small to large, that's what the waves come in. They start small and it becomes big and you don't even notice it. A lot of times we're talking about in Sunday school, people are in a lifestyle, they don't even know it. There's a different lifestyle. And that's why they need to see the love of Christ. They need to see the truth. They need to be loved. They need to be shown by somebody or someone. So how to survive? Jump down to verse 16 in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, here seeing with those eyes, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We go from the present to His presence. We're always in His presence. It's that eternal heart of God. And God clearly provides food for the soul and direction for the soldier. And why does He do this? He absolutely knows the makeup of those He created as well as the conditions we'll entertain here on earth. Nothing catches God by surprise. Nothing does. If you cannot see the eternal invisible of life, you can't and will not comprehend the very meaning and purpose of living. Without that, you do not know what salvation is, what it is for, because you have not tasted what it's all about. You don't know what salvation's for because you don't know what it's all about. You don't have this, things which are seen are temporary, the things which are not seen are invisible. You can't comprehend how powerful and how wonderful salvation is. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small, or weak, some say. You know, we need to be strong. People get the wrong idea about Christians, that they're weak. Guys, if you're walking as a Christian and you've walked any length of time, that's hard to do. Floating along with the devil is not that hard. Anybody can do that. But living for Christ is a lot harder. Psalm 34, talk about this, 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. I love the second half of that. You can say, taste and see that the Lord is good. But look at that second half. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. And why is this because a big deal? Hebrews 2:9, I've read this verse. I know I have, but I've never noticed this verse. Hebrews 2:9, well, look what Jesus had to taste. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. We get to taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus tasted death for everyone, so we're able to do that. But as human beings living in a fallen world, even the strongest grow weary. We all get tired. We all get weary. And these aren't just verses. We give life from them. Galatians 6:9, familiar verse to a lot of people. It says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We shall reap if we do not lose heart. Since it's only a matter of time before the Christian shall reap divine reward, we shouldn't grow weary in doing good. It's this one of those encouraging verses. I love this verse. It's kind of one of my, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to grow weary by doing good because in due season I'll reap if I do not lose heart. As I roll over and hit my snooze alarm again. No, it's like, it's talking about being utterly spiritless. Remember that, being exhausted. Being exhausted. And is it okay to sleep? Guys, Jesus slept in the boat during the storm, okay? He got tired, He slept. He was hungry, He ate. You know, we do the same things. If you need rest, rest, okay? I'm getting better at that. I'm okay with that. I didn't go to men's breakfast because I wasn't feeling good and I didn't sleep the whole night before. And if I would have went, I don't know if I would have been able to drive there. You know, I just told Tress, I said, I can't go. I'm like a zombie right now. So I rested. although I missed all the good things going on that Ted has to tell me about later. Psalm 90, verse 12, the Amplified Version said, "So teach us to number our days that we may cultivate and bring to you a heart of wisdom." I love that. We have to cultivate our hearts and bring to God. We get to bring to Him a heart of wisdom. This stability, and you can bring nothing to God if you're not saved. You can bring all kinds of things to the altar. You saw this at the end of the minor prophets. And they're like, they're bringing their beaten up sheep, probably the ones that have three legs, they're animals for sacrifice. And God's like, and they're like, "God, we love you." And He's like, "Your sacrifices are horrible. You're not bringing me anything," because they didn't have a relationship with Him. They were lost. They didn't have a stability. They couldn't stand. They didn't even know what they'd been given or gifted. And believers, yeah, guys, this doesn't mean that it's this relationship and everything's going to occur overnight. Okay, that's like, if you ever get a pile of gifts that are just wrapped perfectly and you're like, how do people do that? Mine are wrapped. I could take an hour wrapping and it'll look the same. Horrible. I use a lot of paper and this never comes out right. I don't know. I try to cut it down to less and it's not enough. So I'm just like, I just patch it together. But it takes time. I'm like, I'm going to get, and it's better than it was, but it's, guys, sometimes you're like, I just want my relationship with God to be perfect. Well, we're not perfect. He is. He just wants us to come to Him. Come to Him for directions, for encouragement. And He provides it all along the way. And don't ever expect or think that life is fair, because it's not, okay? It's fallen. People say, well, that's not fair. Guess what? It's not. Fair is it's subjective. It's what's fair to me is not fair to you, okay? Now, I'm a Steeler fan. My team's in the playoffs. If yours isn't, you say, well, that's not fair. Well, that's just the way it goes. I don't know what to say. Sometimes you're healthy, sometimes you get sick. It's just, we live in a fallen world.
Yeah.
It's not fairness. It's not this law of fairness. Yeah. It's God who's in control. And Jesus has been there. He watches over you. We have to remember that the devil works here. Listen to what J. Warner Wallace says. I love this. Just listen to this. I'll read it twice. He says, "I'm not a Christian because it works for me. I'm a Christian because it's true." He says, "I'm a Christian because I want to live in a way that reflects the truth. I'm a Christian because my high regard for the truth leaves me no alternative." Think of that. I'm not a Christian because it works for me. I'm a Christian because it's true.
Amen.
I'm a Christian because I want to live in a way that reflects the truth. I'm a Christian because my high regard for the truth leaves me no alternative. I've looked. I've searched. I still search. There's no other way. It positions a person. It gives you the ability to give and receive. We're talking about all the things going on in the world in Iran. And Iran, persecution, horrible things going on the street. More people are coming to Christ right now in Iran than any other place in the world right now. Yep. I heard the Colson Center said there was like 300,000 conversions in the last year. Yeah, 300,000. 300,000. And things are horrible over there. Same thing happened after World War II. Or not World War II, in the 70s when Romania fell and some of those other places. It was Christ-driven. Christ was saving people in those situations. That's why, as bad as it gets sometimes, it's like, it'll still be good. God's coming back. John 4:24, God is spirit, speaking of truth, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Truth is very important. It's the combination that will prevent you from losing heart because you value who Jesus is as you spend time with Him. Turn over to Ephesians 3:13. This is the last verse we're going to look at about do not losing your heart. 3:13. I'm going to read 3:13 and then I'm going to read 10 through 13 because it kind of sets it better in context. But Ephesians 3:13, Paul says, "Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart." Listen, look at this. "At my tribulations for you, which is your glory." So he says, I'm being persecuted, but they're for you. So don't lose heart. Don't be upset, he's saying. In the Living Bible, verses 10 through 13, and his reason, to show that all the rulers in heaven how perfectly wise he is when all of his family, Jews and Gentiles alike, are seen to be joined together in his church in just the way he had always planned it through Christ our Lord. So there's a plan. Now we can come fearlessly right into God's presence, assured of his glad welcome when we come with Christ and trust in him. So please do not lose heart at what they are doing to me here. It is for you I am suffering, and you should feel honored and encouraged. I'm reading a book that I got through the prison ministry. That was a short book that one of the guys wrote. His friend got thrown in prison 3 to 5 years. And his friend, it doesn't say what he got thrown in prison for, but it must have been something pretty bad. But he was a pastor, the guy that got thrown in jail. And he felt like God was done with him. But in jail, God starts to restore him. He starts prayer meetings in the bathroom in the middle of the night. The guards let him. One of the guards gets saved. Another guard who had never let him do anything becomes a Christian. More people come. And the guy's like, if this would have never happened to me, if I wouldn't have suffered, these other people would have probably been saved. So it's that suffering that Paul's talking about here, that the glory and honor go to God. Turn over to him, look at one more verse, Hebrews 4, 15, 16. And I never saw this before. I knew 15 and I was reading 16. And I was like, this is very important to what we're talking about today. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Wait, 4. Not 4. I'll start in 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now remember, we've been given a ministry and office of grace. And it says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Look at, we may obtain mercy and find grace. Why are you saying, like, I thought we've been given a measure of grace, and then we've been given mercy. Look at the end. To help in time of need. And help in time of need. That ties it all together. That's the whole concept of not losing your heart. It's in a time of need that we often lose it. And we've been given all these things, and then we just give it away. You know, we're all good. I don't know if we're all good at regifting. I usually don't do it. I don't know. I've done it. I do it. I don't know. But anyway, I won't give you guys anything that I've gotten. I've talked about everything. I've only gotten 3 things anyway. I got more than that. But think of this. We've been given a ministry, an office. We've been given the mercy. We know by grace through faith we've been saved. So we have these things. And he says we need to come boldly to the throne because in a time of need, we're going to misplace these things. Our heart's going to feel attacked. We're going to all of a sudden be ruled by emotions. And guys, don't be ruled by them. We all have feelings, emotions. They're real. And they, you know, you hurt, you get sad, you cry, you're happy, you're joyful. But don't let those things instantly send you somewhere, someplace or another. Come to the throne of God and see what he has for you. Just wrapping this up. It's not too hard to lose heart. But make it your goal not to. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart. And don't turn away from your eternal reward because of the intensity of today's battle. Don't turn away from it. God has given us, he's given it to us. He provides the avenue for eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. But desires change lives by the application of that suffering and sacrifice. He changes our lives. Just don't faint, it says, to be utterly spiritless or be wearied out or exhausted. 1 Corinthians 15:58, and I'll end with this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you just for these verses and this idea of that we should not only not harden our hearts, but that we don't lose them. Because with that, we lose our hope. We lose that ability to have fellowship with you. And in a time of need, we find that It's not that you're no longer there, but we've pushed you away. So Lord, just keep us. Let us guard our hearts. Let us keep our hearts. And Lord, just build up into our lives those things this year that you want to teach us. Let us be steadfast and immovable, Lord. Let us come boldly to your throne, not meekly or timidly. And Lord, let us be not fiercer, but just more fierce in our study and protector of who you are and what you mean to us. Let us have that desire and that ability through your power and your love to change lives, Lord. And just protect us as we do all these things. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. See, you've got it down. I didn't even have to say, okay.